This is Vertical Living. I'm Jeff, and I'm glad you decided to join me today. We're going to talk about how you can strengthen the most important relationship you have. So grab a chair, sit back, and relax. Let's go vertical. It's a word that we use for so many different things. Some of us like surprises, some of us don't. Some may even be neutral on the subject. Regardless of your stance on them, one thing remains the same. They happen. We plan them for birthday parties and to reveal the gender of an unexpected baby. We plan them for graduations and special occasions. They are a part of life. They're unexpected things. We like the good ones and abhor the bad ones. Wait, there are bad surprises? Yes, there are. They can hit us and derail our entire life. All is well, then, surprise, something happens to slap us right across the face and it rocks our world. These surprises can even threaten to derail our faith. Even the most stalwart followers of God have had their world rocked to the point of walking on it all. Who, you may ask? One of my favorite people to read about in the Bible, a man of unwavering and unquestioning faith, a man that performed some amazing miracles, a man that we would never think would question whether God was there. His name is Elijah. It was just after the greatest spiritual victory of his life. He defeated the primary god, of course, little g, of the time, Baal. Baal was a sun god. The defeat, he didn't answer by fire from heaven. God, big G, did. The victory turned the entire nation of Israel back to worshiping God again. They killed all the false prophets. Then if that wasn't enough, he simply prayed and ended a 3-year drought. What a victory! Does anyone know what happened right after that? The queen put a price on his head. She was furious and vowed to have Elijah's head on a platter, so to speak. Surprise! The greatest victory that Elijah had ever accomplished, and now he was a wanted man. One moment he's watching Israel repent, and the next moment his life is being threatened. While most of us haven't faced such dire circumstances as this, we have faced surprises in life. The boss calls you into the office to tell you that you've been let go. Surprise! Your spouse tells you they aren't happy anymore and that they no longer want to be married to you. Surprise! The routine doctor appointment leads to more tests and you find out that your time on earth is being drastically shortened. Surprise! You're being driven down a road and your car is struck by another driver and you have to spend hours in surgery and months in rehabilitation. Surprise! We tend to think that the ones that are written about in the Bible were immune from these things. We tend to think that nothing ever happened to them and that their lives were lived walking and talking with God until they left this planet. We need to remember, though, that they were human just like we are human. They had feelings just like we have feelings. They hurt and cried and got discouraged just like we do. While that may not encourage you now, just wait. It does get better. Elijah hears this news because the message was sent to him directly according to the Bible, and he takes off. That's right. He ran. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. He let his fear override his faith, and that fear took him on a road trip. Does that sound familiar? How many of us have done the same thing? We know the promises of God, but we let our fear do all the driving. And when fear does the driving, it's not a fun ride. So where does Elijah go? The Bible says that he stopped running when he got to Mount Horeb. It's known as the Mountain of God. The significance of running here can't be overlooked. Mount Horeb is also known as Mount Sinai. It's the mountain where Moses met with God and gave Israel the Ten Commandments. It's the place where God laid out how Israel could live as a nation and should live as a nation. It's a sacred place and a holy place. It was a place where he thought God could be found because he had been blindsided by life and was afraid. How many times have we been in this position? We are fearful of something that life has thrown at us and we run. The only place which we should run is where God can be found. We needn't run to friends or even family. We needn't run to experience. We needn't run to anything else. We need to run to where the presence of God is, because only there can we find the answer to the surprise that has so devastated us. I think Solomon put it best when he said in Proverbs, "The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." So did going to that place make Elijah feel better? Well, not really. You see, the place wasn't what was significant. I don't think he was running to the place so that he could hide out. I think he was running there because he thought that if he could just find God, it would be all right. Something has to make sense in all of this. He did everything that God had said, and look where he is now. This thought process is evident in what he says to God. Let's look at it in 1 Kings chapter 19. "There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. What did I do to deserve this? I did everything you told me to do. I have followed you with unwavering faith, and now they are after me for it.'" Wow. When life slaps you on the side of the head, it can derail the faith of almost anyone. We see it in our own lives time and time again. We're going along, winning our race, and something gets thrown in our way, and we fall to our face. Surprise! This is just where Elijah was at. He had a surprise. Something didn't go like he thought it would. I mean, he was just the instrumental figure in the greatest revival of the past few years in Israel. He single-handedly ended the drought that God told him to call. Things should have been smooth sailing for a while. He should have rode that wave a little longer than he did. But surprise! It's at this point that God reveals something to Elijah that we all need to hear. God asked Elijah a second time in this chapter, and the answer was the same. Here's where the revelation comes. Look at 1 Kings 19:18. "Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." So God had others that hadn't bowed to Baal. We really knew that. We know we're not in this alone. Our pastors are there and our friends are there. I know I'm not really alone. That's not much of a revelation. But that's not the revelation. If we're not careful, we'll miss it. Here it is. God was telling Elijah that he already knew what was going to happen. He wasn't blindsided by the circumstances that were evading Elijah's life at this moment. Not only did he already know about it, he already had a plan for it. Look at Isaiah chapter 46. "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from the ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do." We need to get this down in our spirit. God is not surprised by the curveballs that life throws at us. He isn't sitting in heaven and when something happened calls a council meeting to figure out what he's going to do to fix things. He doesn't have an emergency meeting with the angels to get suggestions on how to correct the situation. He didn't have time to come up with a plan B. He makes the end known from the beginning. He is all-knowing. That means not only all knowledge of things, but of events. So when your life is blindsided by something and you think all is lost, God has already worked on it to bring about your greatest good and His greatest glory. I had a friend tell me one time that God's promises don't have an expiration date on it. The things he said in his word aren't just for the ones that he said it to all those centuries ago. His word is for his people. If we know Jesus and follow him, then this revelation isn't just for Elijah, it is for you too. One last thing that needs to be pointed out in this passage. It's the way in which the revelation took place. The Bible says that Elijah had been staying in a cave and God told him to go and stand at the edge of it. At this moment, there was a massive storm. It was followed by a huge earthquake and then by a raging fire. The Bible states that God wasn't in any of them. Then comes one of my favorite verses, 1 Kings chapter 19. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. God wasn't trying to scold Elijah because of where he was or why he was there. He was simply setting the stage for his presence to invade the space where Elijah was. I can almost see the hand of a father lifting the face of his child to look at him face to face and ask, "What's wrong, son?" Many times we expect the power of God to rush in and do massive things in the middle of our surprises, but God often works in the quietness. The Bible said that God wasn't in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire. Then the whisper of God was heard. Elijah knew that voice well. God doesn't want to scold us any more than he wanted to scold Elijah. He knew just where Elijah was going to be at that moment, and he had already prepared for it. He stands in the fortress that we run to as well, the one that Solomon mentioned. He isn't there to help us figure things out because there's nothing to figure out. He already knows what's taking place, and he's already planned it out. There was no surprise. Ministry hasn't ended. We still live and move and have our being in God. So just stand at the mouth of the cave and confess your hurt to your Heavenly Father. He isn't surprised by it. It hasn't caught him off guard. Hand the hurt, confusion, and questions to him and watch the plans that he has unfold for your greatest good and his greatest glory. Heavenly Father, I come before you on behalf of your people. And I am asking you that in the midst of the surprises that life throws, that you are there. I pray, God, that those surprises would not derail their faith, but they would be confident in knowing that you know the end from the beginning, and this did not catch you off guard, but that you are working and moving to do something in the midst of this that will show them who you are. Father, today I am asking you that you give grace and mercy to those that are hurting in the midst of these circumstances. I pray, Heavenly Father, whisper to them the way that you whispered to Elijah. Ask them, oh God, what they're doing there, not as accusing, but as understanding, so that they would know that you are there and you are there to move in the midst of these things. I pray, oh God, bring peace and bring confidence and strength and comfort and everything that is needed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Vertical Living. Be sure to check me out on Facebook at facebook.com/RevJeffW. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. I hope to see you next time.